beautiful statement of the purpose of our lives. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Everything else will be taken care of. Everything that we concern ourselves with as we go about this life day to day. Human beings were created for the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? It's the place where Christ Himself reigns, where Christ is King. And so we seek in our life for Christ to be King. That's what it is for us to seek the kingdom of God. We seek the reign of Christ, and we seek the reign of Christ first and foremost in our own lives. The kingdom of God is within us, Jesus tells us. Our calling isn't to try to establish the kingdom outside of us so that our life would be okay, we wouldn't have troubles or worries because everything worked out perfectly for us. Let's seek the kingdom of God first and foremost within our own hearts. And this is clearly what our Lord has in mind, because this is the combination of this text that we heard where Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about these things, practical common things like what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear, drink, kind of home you're going to have, kind of neighborhood you're going to live in, what your church is like, whatever it is. There's common things that we go through day to day in our life that are not necessarily things that are sinful in and of themselves. It's good to have a job, it's good to earn money, it's good to have hobbies, to have a garden, to take care of your home, to cook meals, to keep the home clean. Good to have good friendships. But all of these things can become for us an occasion or a source of anxiety. Our Lord's instructions aren't for us to give them up. St. Gregory Palamas says that our Lord doesn't tell us to stop working, but He tells us we don't need to be anxious about our work. And so it is with all of these things in our life that we engage in, just as we participate in this creation, not even in the fallen world, but just in the world that God created. We participate in that, but we participate in this world in such a way that we're always seeking first His kingdom. In other words, we're not letting any of these other things become a rival to Christ as King. We're not letting any created thing take the place of the Creator. And again, we can tell that this is exactly what our Lord has in mind, because immediately before His discussion about anxiety, He said that you can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and the world, the material world, the created world. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or honor the one and despise the other. We weren't created to have two kings. The human being was created to have one throne at the very center of his heart, and for God to sit on that throne. And so when we try to devote our attention to elements of creation, our job, our reputation, things that might be good and important in our lives, but we place them on the center place of our heart, then we dethrone the King. And we live in this anxiety, worry, fears, the cares of this world. So the simple solution then becomes to have only one King, to seek only the kingdom of God, only the Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, central to our own inner life. St. Paul gives us some instruction on how to do this. He says every time we become anxious, to the Philippians, and become anxious, then talk to God about it, pray, as he says. And he says, pray with thanksgiving. Ask God about it. You're anxious about your job, you're anxious about your family members, you're anxious about the coronavirus or church openings and closings, we're anxious about all kinds of things. And his solution is very, very simple. Our problem is that we're thinking about it ourselves, we're talking to ourselves, sometimes just to ourselves, which is dangerous, or just among ourselves, one another, with one another. And we're getting all worked up about things. And St. Paul says, no, stop talking to yourself, talk to God. Replace self-talk with God-talk. And make sure that you include thanksgiving. And this is a very simple and practical way in which we seek the kingdom first. We don't let ourselves start trusting our own reason and our own thinking, and even the kind of collective reasoning and thinking that we engage in with one another. And just like St. Gregory said about our work, it doesn't mean that we don't have such conversations, but it means we're never to let them take that central place in our life. We're never to let them try to dethrone Christ in the center of our hearts. So that's really, in the first instance, a very simple and practical way. And you might say, well, I tried it and it didn't work, but St. Paul has in mind doing it constantly, without hesitation, without interruption. And when I remember, it's quite similar to when I asked Father Roman many years ago about this sort of a question. He said, oh, you just refer everything in your life to God. He's been pray, you give God everything. You talk to God about absolutely everything in your life. You know, you remember him. You remember, he would say, oh, you're driving in the car, and it's like Jesus is sitting next to you. You say, oh, Lord, look at the flowers that are growing, or the leaves that are turning, or the children out there are playing. And it's this very simple sense that Christ is so vividly with us, and so interested in our lives, so concerned about us, that he really wants to hear about everything. And so this is really the most profound and simple way. There's nothing complicated about it. It's the profound and simple way in which we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let everything else fall into its proper place under that reign of him in our hearts. But there's one other bit of advice we can have for following the kingdom that Jesus gives at the very beginning of today's gospel passage. We're just going backwards through it. We seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. What if we don't? Well, we get all of this anxiety. Why? Because we're trying to serve two masters. We're trying to put the things of the created world in the place where only the Creator goes. And how does this happen? Well, it happens when we have a bad eye. If we have a good eye, everything that comes into our body will be filled with light. If we have a bad eye, everything that comes into our body will be filled with darkness. It's really very, very practical. We can get kind of complicated and metaphorical and spiritual about it, but a very beautiful text written by St. Nicodemus of the Holy Mount in an English translation is called, the title is, at least in some translations, Spiritual Counsels. It's about guarding the senses. The eye is the main sense. We have eyes, ears, nose, hands, or skin, and mouth. And these are the gateways in which things enter our soul. And if we let our eyes stare at images or things that we want, or people that we're envious of, if we let our ears listen to things, people gossiping, or music that riles us up, or news media, if we let the gates that God has given us, they're gates to our soul, in the senses, if we let them wide open to the things of this world, then our life will be flooded with the darkness of this world. The way the world thinks. The fallen world. The kind of tit-for-tat world. But if we guard our senses, as St. Nicodemus exhorts us repeatedly in this book, Spiritual Counsels, if we are cautious what we let in through these gates into our soul, then our inner life won't be so jumbled up with all of these rivals to the throne, all of these imposters, all of these activities and events and people and causes and passions, desires that want to dethrone Christ and reign within us. And in such strong ways that we'll become really convinced that it's the way things ought to be. That we really are have to pursue this other cause, and in a way, set Christ aside for a little bit, so we can pursue this other cause. Some people have to pursue now this other cause of wearing masks or not wearing masks in churches to such a degree that they're willing to split the church. This just is out of proportion. There might be good and bad reasons for wearing masks or not wearing masks, or doing communion this way or that way, and it might feel very uncomfortable to us. But can we really say in our heart of hearts, it's such an important thing that we ought to split the church over? I ought to leave the church? I ought to get angry with my own spouse? With the people that I've gone to church with for years? The people that I'm godparents of? People who are godparents of me? I have these conversations every week, and it's the same almost every day. And it's the same conversation. And it's always the same story. We've let ourselves get all worked up by talking to ourselves and to one another. And we've turned these things of this world, which are important, but they are not Christ in and of himself, reigning in our hearts. And we've got ourselves so worked up about these things that we feel justified in setting aside the unity of the church. Love for my brother that I disagree with. Not returning evil for evil, but giving a blessing instead. Being merciful. Being forgiving. All of these things can be set aside because of my cause that I now have. This is very destructive to the church. Very destructive to our own lives. So we just have to sort of guard our senses. Not let ourselves enter into these conversations, into the watching the videos and listening to the podcasts where people are trying to get us riled up and centered around their cause. Where we're going to end up trying to serve two masters, but in doing so we're going to dethrone the only true master that we have. So let us follow this very, very simple advice that our Lord gave. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let everything else fall into its proper place. When we feel some anxiety coming up into our inner life, we feel some agitation, some worries, some concerns, we find ourselves getting riled up about something, talk to God instead of talking to ourselves or one another. Relentlessly, repeatedly, without hesitation. And then be mindful of what it is that we're letting into the gates that God gave us. He gave us gates that we could, so that we could guard them, so that just not any old thing gets into our soul. And so let us be cautious about what it is that we let in, so that our life, inner life, isn't so tormented by the ways of this world, and we're free just to be at peace, sitting in the presence of Christ with him reigning in our heart, doing the one thing that's needful. In the name of the Father,